Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Wouldn't you think that the good news, God loves you, and He has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, would be received joyfully by many people? It isn't. And we're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit, that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. St. Paul was concerned that his life would never be a stumbling block to any unbeliever. And so he writes in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 19, these words, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under God's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
I need thee every hour.
Wouldn't you think that the good news of the gospel, that is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, be joyfully received by all people? Well, you and I know that it isn't. It wasn't received by people 2,000 years ago in the city of Corinth, where Paul was establishing a congregation, and it isn't received by millions of people in America today. St. Paul writes regarding this, "I told people that since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I went on to tell them, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." I also assured them that anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. But by no means did all of them receive this message. In fact, it was a minority. Why is it that all do not believe that Christ is the answer for their lives when it is such good news? This is a question that all believers should ponder. Paul gives us some answers, and that is what this sermon is all about. It's a word for the church to consider seriously. Let's take a look at four reasons why millions of people turn their backs on Christ, either by treating him indifferently or rejecting his promises. Number one, the message known as the gospel does not make sense, the unbeliever says. Millions would say it is an offense to human intelligence to try to make me believe that Jesus Christ could save us through his suffering, death, and resurrection. The Apostle Paul was confronted with that, and so he wrote regarding the wisdom of the human being, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? But the Greeks look for wisdom. The gospel is foolishness to the Gentiles." In other words, in that day, as well as in ours, the intellect would sometimes say, "This is not for me." In spite of the moral chaos in our day, with all of its learning, we still say, "Give us time and we will solve our problems." Yet our prisons are full. The addicts of all kinds increase annually and present a terrible problem to the social welfare departments of our nation. Homes end in divorce, and children live in single parents' home without the blessing of having both dad and mom around. Yet the human intellect keeps on saying we're studying the problem, even though we're not making any progress. We believe that the human being is basically good. Now, there's a problem. If you can give him or her enough education, they say, enough psychotherapy when they fall, eventually all is going to be well, for they will begin to understand themselves. Humans have the capacity to right the wrongs in their lives. They are convinced of this. They simply have to be educated to pick themselves up by the bootstraps and get on with it. How sad. But this confidence in the human intellect for all things is a major reason why millions of people have nothing to do with the gospel. They are not going to humble themselves beneath the cross of Jesus Christ and cry out, "You are our only help." Here's another reason, according to St. Paul. There were those who said, "We need facts to believe. You prove to us that the gospel is true, and we'll open our mind to give you further consideration." While the Greeks wanted the gospel to be understandable, the Jews wanted to be shown that the gospel was true. They lived with the Old Testament teaching, anyone who is hung on a tree is under the curse of God. Well, Jesus hung on a tree, and there he died. This is hardly evidence to their Jewish mind to believe that he was God's appointed Messiah. These people anticipated an earthly ruler who would come and set Israel free. He would drive out the Romans, and Israel would reign supreme. This was not the kingdom that Jesus had come to establish. And so when he did not obey their idea regarding the Messiah, they left him immediately. These people would say then, and they say now, give me one bit of evidence that Jesus Christ is really the Messiah, and I will be open to the gospel. You point them to the millions of lives that have been changed and who have gone on in life to bring great blessings to humanity and say, this is a work of Christ. This they will not accept. They say their changed lives have nothing to do with their relationship with Jesus Christ. Other factors enter into the matter. Perhaps they have now just finally grown up. They will then continue in their unbelief by saying, why do all of these bad things happen to good people if that gospel is so joyful? The conversation continues. So much of Christianity deals with a life after death, and those who have received Christ as their Savior will spend eternity with him in heaven. The agnostic goes on to say, prove to me that there is a life after death, and don't give me this faith bit, I don't buy it. While they accept many other blessings in faith, this type of trust does not apply to a person's spiritual life. And that's the second reason why so many people today do not believe the gospel. Thirdly, they have never met Jesus Christ. Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and notice this, and you believe in your heart, not just in your head, but in your heart, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Many people know about Jesus. And many of these people give intellectual assent to the teachings about Jesus, but yet they have never met him. They have not experienced what it is to have your sins forgiven and to enjoy that peace which passes all understanding. There is seldom a week in my life that goes by but what someone will tell me of their personal relationship with the Lord. Then they go on to say, I thought I was a Christian. You know, I had a good understanding of the basics of the Christian faith, but it was not until recently that I met Jesus, and now I know him as the living Lord. To accept a doctrine, and the doctrines are very important, don't get me wrong, but to accept a doctrine and to meet Jesus personally are two different matters. And many who have accepted the doctrine have yet to have the joy of receiving Christ in a personal way. These people who have never met him, but have a good intellectual understanding of the Christian faith, are often found in our congregations. They are not the hardcore unbeliever who would care less if the Christian faith ceased to be. They are the faithful, and they may be very active in their congregations. They would defend the church. These people, I believe, are only a short distance from meeting the Savior and giving him time. I believe that we can be confident that the Word of God is working. We have that promise. And when it is planted in the souls of a young person or a middle-aged person or any person, given time, the Holy Spirit will bring forth fruit, primarily the fruit of faith, that in Jesus Christ we are the Lord's forever. That is why it is so terribly important for us in our churches to have strong educational programs, strong Sunday schools, strong vacation Bible schools, strong confirmation classes, strong adult studies, to plant that seed in order that they might not only have intellectual understanding, but that the Holy Spirit working through that word can bring them to faith. But as now, many of them are not really believers in Christ, that is, really not living in a personal relationship with Christ, because somewhere along the way, they've gotten the idea that it is enough just to understand what the Bible says. Number four, there are those who are offended at the behavior and the attitude and the spirit of those who claim to be Christians. Our lifestyle is inconsistent with our confessions. Here I think the church really needs to take a look at this criticism from the world. I know that even though we are Christians, we are not perfect. We are saints and sinners at the same time. We also know that this can be an escape, this criticism, for those who simply do not want to deal seriously with God and their relationship with Him. Nevertheless, we cannot take the accusation of the unbeliever lightly. What offends them? Let's look at some of their statements which might speak to all of us. Here's one. When my husband lay sick for many months and finally died, my friends who professed no faith in Jesus Christ and seldom went to church showed more concern than my Christian neighbors. Never once did those Christian neighbors offer to help me in those difficult days and those long nights. And now that he is gone, I sometimes wonder if they truly believed that only through faith in Jesus Christ could you enter the kingdom of heaven. And they knew that Joe was going to die. The writing was on the wall. Why didn't they come and share that gospel? But never once did they. Oh, I know what they'll say. They didn't want to interfere. They did not want to be offensive. But their lack of saying something, their lack of doing something, was more offensive to me than if they had only come and expressed their concern about the eternal welfare of my friend and my husband, Joe. Here's another one. I heard this some years ago. I never was cursed at more and treated so unkindly in a business transaction than I was with an officer of your church who presents himself as one of God's children. It is difficult for me to understand how one can get out of control as much as he did when he still talks about the power of God in his life. I know we can all get upset when dollars are involved, but I did expect more understanding from this person because of his faith. Well, if that's Christianity, I guess I can get along without it. This is a pretty sad accusation. Does Jesus' words apply when he says it would be better that a millstone be tied around this person's neck and be thrown into the inner sea than to be a stumbling block to one of those little ones? Listen to this. Child says to her parents, "Do you have to go away again tonight? I have been with the babysitter so much today. I just want you, Mommy and Daddy, to be with me right now." And the parents jointly reply, "We would far rather stay home with you, but our friends are having this party tonight, and it is important that we be with them. We'll make it up to you." Might those words ring in the child's ear even after she is an adult? Could she then ask the question, who was more important that night? Was it I or other friends? Now this little girl has her own children, and she learns what God has to say about parenting a child. Where were her parents' Christianity when they were busy climbing the social ladder at the expense of their children's feelings? Well, Paul has a word to the church, and he says this, "Let the gospel be an offense if it must be. One day the wise and learned will discover that human knowledge is not adequate for the difficulties of life. Let those who want proof trust their own insights until they discover that only by trusting the Savior is there peace. but never, never let those who claim Christ as their Savior be an offense to those who yet have to meet him. Amen. Father, forgive us for being an offense to those who you work for and with to make them your children. We pray, Father, that you will not only forgive us our sins of offense, but that you will also give us strength to overcome these things that can be so disturbing to those who yet live in darkness. May we be the light of the world. May we be carriers of the gospel. We know that we shall never be without sin, and we will always perhaps be offensive to some degree. But strengthen us in this respect as we walk with you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May the message and the music heard today bring you comfort and peace. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported entirely by our faithful listening family. We pray that if our ministry meets your spiritual needs, you will consider a contribution to help pay for the radio time. Many shut-ins depend on this program for their Sunday worship service. Please send your gift to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Gifts of all sizes are greatly appreciated. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Reverend Larson's sermons can be read or printed. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.